Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's a busy sports night, my man. Canes back in action for night number two of playoff-like atmospheres. This time at PNC Arena, Joe,
we got playoff hockey.
Playoffs?
Playoffs. And we have the actual playoffs in the NCAA tournament tonight. Four games, West Regional. That's the one I've had my eye on that one, Joe. I feel like those are the four. That's the four most competitive teams still in one side of the bracket. Give me that UConn. That UConn-Arkansas game is going to be nice. And then the nightcap, you know I'll be rooting against my former Zags.
That's
taking on UCLA. The Zags are now, in a twist of irony, the only team left that can hurt me in this tournament.
That's the game that – well, here's – I had two questions about this. And you just actually answered one of them. Can Gonzaga still hurt you?
They can.
And yes, they can. Because this is after you've given up on them.
I set them free last year.
And this is one of the more nondescript Gonzaga teams. A three seed of all things, right?
Yeah. They're a lot like Carolina. They're a lot like NC State. Mm-hmm. They have a traditional college post who's got nowhere to go in the NBA. Mm-hmm. So he's making a chunk of money playing college basketball, and he's leading a pretty good team. They're like all Gonzaga teams, accomplished on the offensive end of the floor. The question is, can they play enough defense? Can they get enough stops? UCLA is one of those teams too, man. Mick Cronin, speaking of coaches of NC State's ghosts past.
Yeah.
Mick Cronin looked too much like Herb Sendick. Mick Cronin wanted too much money. Mick Cronin was going through a divorce. It was this, it was that. There was three or four different times they tried to get Mick Cronin from Cincinnati. And one of the great things that he's done is he has turned UCLA, this traditional West Coast power, into a tough East Coast basketball team. Tiger, Campbell, Jaquez. I can't think of Jaquez's last name, but they got two guys who can really ball.
It's funny. There's any number of coaches that could have gone NC State's way had they just, for any number of reasons. Like, what is it? A guy from West Virginia.
Jaquez, yes.
And the guy from West Virginia who ends up at Michigan.
Oh, John Beilein.
John Beilein, right. That was always a buyout issue in the grand scheme of things. The other question I had about Gonzaga UCLA was, are you going to be even awake?
No.
Are you going to find out? Are you going to find out tomorrow? Are you going to find out tomorrow morning about what happened?
No, I've been getting back on.
It's a 9:45 at best.
I've been getting back on my college basketball beat days by staying up and watching these NCAA tournament games. Okay. Because low-key, Joe, let me just jinx it. The bracket looks good. Hey, girl, your bracket looks good.
Mine's ravaged.
But how?
Well, because I went for the storyline bracket. I went for the bracket.
Duke.
I went for the bracket that would make a lot of sense. Well, I had State in the Final Four, too.
Yeah, but
Duke.
That was a lark.
I understand that.
Yeah. What was the other side? Did you go Arizona, Kansas, or Purdue? No.
No. On the other side, actually, is decent, and then I have Houston and Alabama. So... Right,
somebody from the West. You would need Did you go Gonzaga for
no,
pain?
I didn't go Gonzaga. I have to go. I gave up on my bracket this weekend. I haven't looked at it.
But
since.
Why? It doesn't sound like it's terrible.
No, it's awful. Trust me.
And you had Houston winning, right? We all had Houston winning, other than Dennis. Dennis had Kansas.
Let me go to WRLSportsFan.com.
Okay.
And I'm going to look at as I get my progressive lenses locked and loaded here so I know what the heck I'm looking at since...
Get that head moving the right
seriously,
way.
Seriously, I have to look at this thing in the... Anyway, I'll find this here in a second, and I'll tell you what exactly my bracket was because it's on WRLSportsFan.com. Speaking of the Wolfpack, who I did have going to the Final Four for storyline purposes to take on Duke, Ebenezer Dewana is entering the transfer portal. Can't say that I'm surprised. Dewana had spot duty, best I could tell, for the Wolfpack. He wasn't going to be a key starter for them as a junior. And I saw, from Mike Barber was the first one to have it, I think, on three. And then you've since confirmed it, right?
Yeah.
That Dewana is going to enter the transfer portal. A healthy front court for NC State probably didn't feature him in the first place.
This season.
This season.
Remember, he had to play a whole lot. the previous year when Manny Bates went out 1 minute into the season, and that wasn't fair to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he struggled. And then this year, I thought, as a player who came in off of the bench and gave DJ Burns a chance to catch his breath, I thought he was really good in his role, and he understood his role. There were games where he did score some, and there were games where he blocked a bunch of shots. I thought he helped. But every coach has to have honest conversations with their players, Joe. And those conversations say, this is what I think your role is going to be.
Yeah.
And then the player has to decide, is that the role I'm comfortable with? And in the case of Ibi Duane, he's a big kid, and I do think he could play at a probably down a level in the conference, you know, UNCW, where we know where Takeo Siddall is. We've seen other, the home of Wayward Wolfpack big men, Nick Farrar, is there now. So I think EB probably made a choice that said, you know what, I want to play more minutes. I'm not going to have them coming up this season at NC State.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the portal is all about. Don't be surprised if you see Jack Clark, who has a year left of eligibility, decide, you know what, hey, this is my chance to make a little bit of money.
Mm-hmm.
So what are my services worth in the transfer portal? You could see something like that. I do expect Casey Marcel to come back. I do expect DJ Burns to come back. And then you'll have to see how does Kevin Keats build the roster around Burns, mm-hmm. around Marcel, who was really good as a bonus three-point shooter this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think next season he probably has to play a little bit more of a role.
Yeah,
you don't know what they're going to or not going to get out of the portal. I'll tell you this, though. Dontrez Styles, North Carolina's, UNC's Dontrez Styles.
In the transfer portal.
Will be on campus on Saturday visiting NC State because he was recruited by Kevin Keats and his group out of high school. All right. Damian Dunn,
mm-hmm.
who's also from Kinston, and Graham, you jump in here. You give us a scouting report on Styles and Dunn and which one was better in Kinston.
Young Gravy, the Kinston guy here.
Yeah, Dunn ended up at Temple and had a really, really good season. He's this will be the guy. And this is not from my insiders. This is just my understanding. This is the guy you throw the Terquavion Smith NIL money at.
Mm-hmm.
Dunn would be the one. Damian Dunn, he's from Kinston, averaged 16 points a game for Temple this year.
Mm-hmm.
Really balled out in Temple's home win over Houston. So he'll be on campus on Monday.
What did I tell you about Styles?
I think when you went to the Beefmaster Inn, I think somebody might have whispered to you. That's what I think happened.
I might have been at the Lazy Susan getting myself getting the salad bar.
That's what I'm starting to think happened. But yes, I can confirm those two visits from Kinston players.
Okay.
Dunn, obviously being a priority scoring guard.
Mm.
You know, you lose Terquavion Smith, you lose Jarkel Joyner, but again, you're going to see the roster reshaped. And again, this is not a reason to sit here and scream that the world is ending. This is part of what NIL, and this is part of what the transfer portal is. It's a chance. I've said it before, I'll say it again. The number one reason players leave is playing time.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually not money. Now, the reason you might pick a Miami, you might pick an NC State, you might pick an Ohio State is because you feel like you're maximizing your NIL opportunity.
Yeah, no, Miami's definitely been playing that game.
But the number one reason people leave, they want to play more. That's the number one reason. It always has been, and I believe it always will be.
I went and looked at my bracket again.
I'm telling you, it's not that bad.
You're right. It's actually not that bad. I do have Gonzaga in my.
There
final
you go.
Four.
You got Houston and Gonzaga, so you could get 2 of 4. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good bracket.
According to the bracket challenge, I'm only 2 points behind you.
Like I said,
in the VIP right now. Pat Welter is crushing it. So is Errol Reese on and Murphy too.
Murph's
doing pretty hot as well, along with Bob Holliday and Ken Smith. We're getting crushed by Wooly Bull too. So
it happens, man.
The mascot Renee Chu also destroying you and me in the bracket challenge over on WRAL.
Hey man, if UConn and Alabama get there, I'll lose to Wooly and the Mudcat.
One other thing about transfers before we hit the break, as you mentioned, you know, the number one thing that drives a lot of this is going to be playing time, opportunities to play, and the NIL marketing deals that come along with that factor in as well. And from yesterday's conversations related to North Carolina and the fourth transfer in Puff Johnson, I got a couple emails, I got a couple tweets that were like, okay, well, you know, you're going to have to bring that same energy, quote-unquote, when you start seeing the transfers from NC State and Duke. And this is where I start to get annoyed. Yesterday, you got annoyed because you were very much in the consistency factor. You want consistency from people, which I get. I do think that's asking too much because
of course it is. Humans, you can't remember what your stance was last week.
I barely remember.
Let alone 5 years ago.
I don't even know what we talked about yesterday for the most part. But I was reminded. And what the one thing that I can't stand is when we decide to go context-free on things. If you can't understand that some expected or understandable transfers are about to take place at a variety of schools, including NC State and Duke, which did make the NCAA tournament, versus the entirety of the year and what goes into why people were upset with Hubert Davis this past season, why somebody like Dontrez Styles, who comes from Kinston, who is somebody that typically goes to North Carolina, decides to bounce and could potentially go to State, or Puff Johnson, whose brother played there, for heaven's sake.
Justin McCoy, again, a kid from the Triangle.
So if you can't understand those contexts related to why certain transfers you go, yeah, okay, I expect that one, and others you don't, well, I can't help you. You've decided to put the blinders on and go context-free completely as to why some might raise an eyebrow and some might not. I'm not going to sit here and try to argue with people like that because you don't actually want to engage in the conversation. All you want to do is say, just say positive things about my school all the time, and if you don't, you're a hater. Which is funny because throughout all of yesterday's conversations related to North Carolina, everything that I said was couched on, I hope Hubert Davis gets it right. I hope he gets it right. Whatever decisions that need to be made at UNC, especially when it comes to what I've argued all season, that it's the group, not the coach. You want to talk about consistency. What I've been saying all season, it's the group, not the coach. Allow Hubert Davis to shape the program in the way that he feels it has to go, rather than tying him to something that's been at Carolina for decades, which is completely unfair to him and completely devoid of how things operate now in college basketball. So I hope he gets it right, because the last thing I want to see Hubert Davis go through is a really ugly season where people are going to say some stuff that they're going to regret. So we already saw it in year one. We've seen it in year two because he didn't go to the NIT. A lot of code, okay? So if they don't do it again, y'all act like I haven't been here for a long time and like I don't know how these things go, okay? So for his sake, I hope he gets it right in the transfer portal, because they do have talent and they are Carolina, and it should be easier for them to do this than at other schools. Just remains to be seen if they can hit in the transfer portal. We shall see what that roster looks like in the next couple of weeks, just like it'll be at NC State and just like it'll be at Duke. It's the OG alongside Joe Giglio. I'm Joe Ovias. We've entered into Pro Day number two, and the traveling road show for the Carolina Panthers continues. They were at Ohio State yesterday. They are at Alabama's Pro Day today. Yesterday, we were all convinced that C.J. Stroud was clearly the pick. But today, Joe, today, somebody hugged Bryce Young, which means he's going to be the pick. We'll explain next.
Thank you for listening to the Best of the Drive podcast. We're here with Coach Pete, Capital Financial Advisory Group. Coach, let's hear about your power plan.
Well, Coach Pete's power plan, 22 steps to get you on the right direction for retirement. Also, make sure you have a successful, income-filled retirement. Tim, the next 10 people are going to give that away. No cost or obligation.
For the power plan, call 800-691-3215. You can also go ahead and text Tim to 600-700. The phone number, 800-691-3215, or text Tim to 600-700.
Look up 99.9 The Fan on YouTube. Smash that subscribe button. Hit the likes. Leave comments. Do whatever you can to manipulate the algorithm. And we'll only take some information from you. It's not like we're TikTok, which is on Capitol Hill today. That's a doozy. But that's for another show. Because what you tuned in to hear is how today's Pro Day featuring Bryce Young absolutely has convinced the Panthers that he needs to go number one. Just 24 hours after C.J. Stroud did that very same thing yesterday, Joe.
I'm going to go full Colin Cowherd here.
Okay.
And
reminds me a lot of Apple.
I can't do the voice, but Alabama tweeted out a picture of Bryce Young at his pro day.
Mm-hmm.
He was in an Alabama jacket.
Okay.
Like a you know, warm-up jacket.
Was it like a big satin jacket, like a starter jacket?
No. Just a, like, you know, hey, I'm getting ready, about to do some stretching, about to throw. And he had a book bag on.
Uh-huh.
And, man, I hate myself for the first instinct. But my first impression of looking at that picture was, where's the franchise quarterback? which one's the 5'10 guy with the backpack?
Yeah.
That kid?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, and trust
his frame is a story.
I am a Heisman voter. I voted for Bryce Young the year that he won the Heisman Trophy.
That's a different thing you're voting for, though.
I understand the accuracy. I understand his skill set. But just looking at the picture, I was like, where's the guy they're going to take number one?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where's Waldo? Find the Manning. Like, wait, which quarterback in the – who's the number one franchise quarterback in this picture? I don't see one.
So, yes, let's go backwards. Let's go to yesterday, and then we can talk about Bryce Young today.
C.J. Stroud getting Nicole Tepper to keep eyes on him,
today – today, see, Bryce Young was hugged by Nicole Tepper.
Oh, she was there too today?
Of course. The whole road shows along with them. We're gonna talk to Darren Gant, Panthers.com, a little bit later on today because I think he's doing advanced scouting in Kentucky.
Oh.
So, or either that or they're done in Alabama and they're driving up to Kentucky right now. We're going to be talking to Darren at some point here in the next hour while they're on the road to Kentucky for the Will Levis Pro Day. Okay. So, I'm only bringing this up not to be a hater, but to illustrate what we do and to make a final point about David Tepper, the owner of the Carolina Panthers. Start with C.J. Stroud yesterday. He's throwing against air. He's dropping dimes. The entire Panthers organization's there. And you got Frank Reich making goo-goo face eyes at him. You got Nicole Tepper, as you mentioned, you know, there embracing him. David Tepper's dapping him up. And then you have like Lewis Riddick on ESPN, Graham. Here's Lewis Riddick on ESPN, who was at the Pro Day yesterday, talking about how Carolina is going to get Stroud as QB1.
David Tepper is going to be along for the entire process, and they are taking this process from beginning to end. And look, he said, look, we didn't come into this thinking that there's a quarterback that we want, and then we're going to kind of see how it plays out. We came into this thinking we're going to let the best man win this entire evaluation. But I can just tell you this, too, though, now. I can tell you this, too. This young man who's out here throwing right now has to be squarely either 1 or 1A for them. I just don't see how he couldn't be, considering both the mental and physical makeup and the physical skills, which right now, I mean, there was never any doubt.
Okay, so that's Lewis Riddick on ESPN talking about Stroud as QB1 for the Panthers. Here's Josh McCown, who's part of the Panthers coaching staff, and he's caught on a hot mic telling Stroud, hey, we'll find a court for you.
Right here, come on.
Okay.
See, there you go. Now I'll be taking your money playing horse on the court. So clearly, they're in on Stroud if they're already talking about finding a court for him in Charlotte, right, Joe? Right? But you see, today, on the NFL Plus broadcast that featured Steve Smith, Panthers legend, he told Bryce Young, hey, man, you should be the next Panthers QB. And, of course, like Bryce Young's like, man, that means a lot coming from you. Which, of course, I mean, Steve Smith's a legend, okay? So what does it mean? Yesterday was Stroud, today it's Young. We're going to do this with Levis, by the way, when they go to Kentucky, and somebody's going to pick up on a moment that makes it seem like they're tipping their hand. That means it's Levis. Y'all, we got it's March 23rd. We got just over a month until the first pick in the draft is going to be made. We can't do this every day. We just can't.
Isn't that what David Tepper wants?
And that's my larger point. That is my larger point. Thank you for taking it where the logical conclusion is.
Because what else are we going to talk about the Panthers in a positive light?
David Tepper wants the Panthers to be relevant. I understand the desire. You can be relevant by winning. There's two ways to go about this, okay? There's two ways to go about being relevant. You can do all the periphery stuff to make yourself interesting, which is what the Carolina Panthers have done with this move to get to the number one pick in the draft. And as they said, they control the draft now. They are in the pole position. And everybody's going to be wondering, what does it mean? And if you don't think they're doing it for the content, folks, it's 2023. Everything's for the content. And that's why they got this traveling road show. And they're there for every pro day, and they're there for all the television networks to obsess over what they're going to do and then debate whether the Panthers should take this guy or that guy. Or you can go the Tom Dundon way, all right? Tom Dundon, the owner of the Carolina Panthers or Carolina Hurricanes, who has said from the beginning, I'm not really worried about the periphery stuff, and he's made some decisions that have angered the fan base. I don't think I'm stretching here when I've said some of the decisions that he's made has ultimately angered the fan base. He ultimately thinks, if I win, people will show up and they'll find us interesting. And sure enough, they've been winning under Rod Brind'Amour, and they just got to 100 points, and they're probably going to win the Metro Division again, and the building's packed on a pretty consistent basis. I'm not saying David Tepper isn't trying to win. I'm simply saying that Tepper really does love the periphery stuff. And if you don't think for a second that David Tepper is the one that's going to make the decision on who the QB is going to be, then you're kidding yourself. Why else is he there? Frank Reich and Scott Fitterer might have their opinions, but ultimately it's going to be David Tepper's call in the same way that it's Jerry Jones's call half the time or Dan Snyder's call when he's ruining the Washington Commanders. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if they make the pick and we're going to get some sort of sob story about how David and Nicole really just had a conversation over coffee one day and David was just convinced in this conversation that we're going to have to go with XQB. I can already see the future, Joe. Can already see the future when it comes to David Tepper. Tell me I'm wrong.
I can't.
He likes the attention, man. Likes the attention. And that's fine. A lot of owners like the attention. You can have the attention just as hope. I hope you're making the right decisions, man. I think it's C.J. Stroud. Straight up, I think it's C.J. Stroud. If they don't go in that direction, good luck. Because as you said, if it's Bryce Young, that's a little bit of a gamble, man. That frame. That frame's going to be a little bit of an issue.
Especially when you look at Kyler Murray and look at Tua Tagovailoa, two other smaller quarterbacks who were taken at the top of the draft recently. And they've had injury issues, straight up.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's answer some Hey Joe questions.
Joe cracked the door. All right, Hey Joe, it's brought to you by Oak City Sports Cards, oakcitycards.com. Our first one comes to us from Sean. Hey Joe, if Carolina fans are the ones who measure success against being better than Duke, why are Duke fans getting so chesty over a 5-seed/round-of-32 appearance season with, well, we swept Carolina and at least we made the tourney?
I mean,
it's all relative, right?
It is all relative. Here's
Plus,
how
you know Duke fans were thirsty to have some kind of retort after last year's ending.
So here's how I would interpret this. And I get the point of the question. And ultimately, what makes rivalries is that you are kind of into whatever your rival is doing. You know, just like North Carolina fans were rather amused when Duke got beat. I mean, there's a reason why Carolina fans will tweet out the website diddukewin.com. Okay? So I maintain that Carolina is way more invested in what Duke is doing than vice versa. That's my own opinion. I've always kind of felt that Duke almost treats itself like they're above it all in the grand scheme of things. In the same way that Virginia is obsessed with whatever Carolina is doing. Okay? And especially in basketball, and in some cases, football. But I'll say this about Duke. I think what's going on here with Duke fans is, yeah, okay, you beat K specifically, but the program continues on, and it kind of gets back to what you and I have talked about oftentimes is, I think the biggest existential threat that Carolina fans face is, holy crap, did Coach K get the transition right? While what's going on at Carolina might have some ups and downs. I think that's what's ultimately going on that has people in the position that they're in.
But I still think those are all valid points.
Yes.
But I still think what you do in that particular season matters. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, of course, your rival, even if they lost in the first round, would be like, yeah, well, you weren't here, so you could still yammer to them.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it's about.
It's exactly what it's about. And that's the stuff that keeps us going, you know? Next up.
I got proposition for you.
All right, from Stay Swayin'. Hey, Joe, can success in the NCAA tournament prove to be fool's gold when it comes to true program strength /longevity. For example, Frank Morin at South Carolina and possibly Hubert Davis at UNC. P.S. Clemson is a cult.
Okay, we'll take your word for it that Clemson is a cult. Can a run in the NCAA tournament prove to be fool's gold? Of course it can. Of course it can. You got to read on that.
Well, how do you want to measure longevity? On our last episode of Pack Therapy, Scott Wood pointed out, would you be happy if NC State made the NCAA tournament 15 years in a row,
mm-hmm.
but never won an NCAA game?
Never won an NCAA
game? Never won a game. They were in the tournament 15 years in a row, but didn't win a game.
Then I would say they wouldn't take that. They wouldn't take
but
that.
But you know the alternative.
Not making the NCAA tournament. But there's possibility that you could win some games when you do make it, though.
Right.
I mean, that's what you have
but,
to.
But that would be a consistency, right?
I guess.
If
yeah, you made the tournament.
Consistently made the tournament
it means
every
you had
year,
a good year. Yeah.
I mean, right. I don't know. There's different ways you could do this. It's all how you want to justify it, right? And again, it's all about what it's relative to.
Yes.
If Duke and Carolina were in Idaho, well, then NC State could just go about being a team that makes the tournament.
But they're not.
But they're not.
Right.
They're in the same neighborhood. And what Carolina does, what Duke does, it matters. It does.
I think what the question is kind of backdoor asking is kind of the thing that you and I debated yesterday as to Hubert Davis got North Carolina to a championship game and almost won the whole thing last year. And people are already upset. They were upset last year, but it's just brought them back to being upset. And you're like, he's got him to a championship game. So I'll ask you this, actually. Because it's actually coming off the heels of you and I getting into a spirited discussion about Tony Bennett, right?
Yeah.
You know, you'll say, like, oh, Tony Bennett's not built for March. Well, like, well, he won a championship. You can't say he's not built for March and he won a championship.
Yeah, but his style of play is what invites the losses.
Cool, 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 cool. He won a championship. Mm-hmm. So I'm sitting here telling you a coach who's literally done it, and you want to dismiss some of the stuff.
Right.
And then you kind of rely on, but Hubert Davis took him to a championship.
Yeah, but we have more of a body of work with Tony Bennett. We only have 2 years of the chapters with Hubert Davis. We'll know more. Again,
we will.
If you want to talk about longevity and you want to talk about a program strength, these are all, it's all relative. Mm-hmm. What are you used to? You're Virginia. Why do you think Virginia reacts the way that they do?
Because they've had some.
No, they react the way that they do because the one title meant a lot to them.
It meant a lot.
Meanwhile, Carolina just won the national championship in 2017, and you would have thought it was in before segregation,
mm-hmm.
the way that some of their fans talk about the program. It was 2017, Joe.
Yeah, I know.
And there are a sect of Duke fans who look at 2015 as if it was a different century. It wasn't. It was 2015. So what you're saying, though, illustrates this question. What do you look at as longevity? What do you look at as strength?
Mm-hmm.
Virginia, you had nothing before Tony Bennett. You had an ACC title in 76, and you had two Final Four appearances under Terry Holland, one with Ralph Sampson, one the year he left,
mm-hmm.
which the basketball gods paid back, you know, for not having Sampson, who was the dominant ACC player, win his title. That's what you had. So now Tony Bennett goes to the tournament 10 years in a row, but loses in the first round in five of those,
mm-hmm.
and it's okay because they fall back on the one title.
You got the title. Next up.
How you doing?
From Colby, hey, Joe, will the Carolina Panthers be the first team to trade out of the number one pick after trading for it?
No, it's not draft day. This is not what's going to happen with the Panthers. They moved up for a reason. I'm convinced they moved up because they already knew who the guy is going to be. I think it's C.J. Stroud. What's going on right now is simply for the content, which good for them, man. They literally own the draft. They get to be front and center in the center of attention from now until they pick. So good for the Panthers. Next up.
Yeah!
Our final question comes from Ken. Hey, Joe, can we get some Giglio truth bombs on Sorbrick's NIL comments?
Jack Sorbrick and John Jenkins, Father John Jenkins at Notre Dame, did an op-ed,
New York Times.
Basically saying, please, 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 won't somebody think of college sports? The old days. That's essentially what it was. This is yet another, hey, man, we want college to be this thing. It hasn't been for decades. But, man, it stands for something. Yeah, making money.
And just like Tom Izzo bemoaning the transfer portal while benefiting from two guards out of the transfer portal, This comment from, let me get to my own profile here. This comment from Swarbrick, where he talks about NIL and as if Sam Hartman just left Wake Forest to go play for Notre Dame out of the kindness of his heart. This is what he said. This is what he wrote. People were paying under the table as long as I've been around. Now it's the same payment, but they're calling it NIL. We're not going to stop. It's not going to go away. But we've got to get out of this position where the vast majority of transactions occurring are not what they're characterized being. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the kicker, though. Educational, and this is quote, this is a direct quote.
Mm-hmm.
Educational institutions ought to be embarrassed to be a part of it. We're going to conduct a fraud here. Again, now, I want you to understand. The starting quarterback for Notre Dame football next year just had an accomplished ACC record career at Wake Forest.
Mm-hmm.
He's not using the final year of his eligibility at a school he loves because he wasn't going to make money at that school.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that he now is going to go play quarterback at Notre Dame for free? Educational institutions ought to be embarrassed. Like, again, with the consistency argument, just be consistent with who you are, man.
Yeah.
You want to be about that life? Be about that life. But don't tell other people you ought to be embarrassed. This NIL stuff. Yeah, but
you're
quarterback. Oh, yeah. Okay,
while cool. While knocking out your own television deals to keep doing your
that
thing.
You've been bilking off of slave labor for the last 30 years. Come on, man.
Come on. I mean, please. If there's one thing that I learned in all my years of Catholic schooling, they know how to make money.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.